And Father, we just thank you and we praise you and we give you all honor and glory for what you've already done in the service. I thank you, Father God, that you lifted that heaviness that was here at first. And I thank you that you moved in and ministered to your people. And now, Father, I'm just asking that the Holy Spirit hover over us tonight. And I ask that the angelic host be moving throughout the chairs, Father God, to minister to your people. And Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I see Astrid, you got back from your trip. Did everything turn out okay? That's wonderful. You went to see you saw your mom finally. And she's better. Good. Astrid went on a trip to see her mother. God told her to go. So, God is speaking volumes if you're just listening. And he's speaking when you least expect him to. So, you know, just have your ears in tune 24/7 and so you can speak anytime you want to, Father. And just let him do that. We're all praying, right? Against the enemy that's coming against the church, against our president. It's just awful what the enemy is doing. Remember, God told me that the enemy had been working behind the scene, but now he came to the front full force, and he had brought everything in hell he had with him whenever all this stuff started. But he doesn't he does not have the power and authority that we have through Christ Jesus. And it's our prayers. I keep asking God, what can we do? And he just keeps saying prayer will resolve all things. So as we can pray, we don't have to go out there and demonstrate. You know, we need to pray like we've never prayed before. And just not one quick prayer, but just to like be in a constant state of prayer, always interceding for everything that's going on around about us. Tonight I'm going to speak on how to conduct spiritual warfare and by what authority do you do it. Now, this is the first time this has happened to me, but I got this together. And then I thought, that's it. It's fine. Then I thought, well, I'll read it over again this morning. Well, I read it over and thought, that doesn't even sound right at all. It didn't jog my spirit at all. So I went over it and I tweaked it a little bit. And so hopefully it turns out all right. All right. I don't like it when that happens because I feel uncomfortable. But I said, God, you're in all things, so you just do what you have to do. So, but see, I got involved with the glow because I speak at the glow this Saturday, and God was telling me what to speak. So I sort of set this aside. It was done. And I was really excited with what God was talking about for a glow. And then at the last minute, I brought this up again. we'll see. Are y'all happy tonight? You know, the joy of the Lord is truly our strength. And the enemy's been trying to steal our joy in every avenue in our life. You cannot allow him to do that. You have to hold on to your joy no matter what's going on around about you. And I just don't say that in a flippant way. You have to maintain your joy. It might be deep down inside of there. And you might have to stir it up. But you have to keep hold of your joy. All right. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12, which is God, Jesus' 12 disciples, these 12 Jesus sent out instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse leopards, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without paying. So that's what he told his 12 disciples to do. They were not to speak to minister to the Gentiles or the Samaritans at all, but just to the church. Now, in Acts 26:12, we're going to see what God told Paul to do. On one of these journeys, this is Paul speaking, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. About noon, King Agrippa, That's who he's talking to, King Agrippa. As I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them. He's sending them to his own people and to the Gentiles. Why? To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Why? So that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul, the 12 were not supposed to go to the Gentiles, but Paul was supposed to go to the Gentiles and his own people. Now, there is only one authority we use to do what God has called us to do, and that is God's spiritual authority. Paul could not do that until God gave him authority to do that. Jesus, he had authority to do, his 12 had authority to do that. And now God is sending us now into the Gentiles. It's the harvest is the Gentiles. And we are supposed to do the very same thing that he told the disciples to do, and that was heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. You don't charge people for ministering to them, all right? So I said there is only one authority we use to do what God has called us to do, and that is God's spiritual authority. What is spiritual authority? Number one, spiritual authority is knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Number two, it is knowing your correct relationship to the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Number three, it is knowing just what position you're in. If you don't know any of these, you're not walking in spiritual authority. So number three was, it is knowing just what position you're in. Number four, it is knowing what is yours to have and to hold. And number five, it is knowing that everything Jesus accomplished on Calvary and delivered to the saints is yours and more. And number six, it is in knowing what is expected of you. You need to know what God's sending you to do, just like the disciples and Paul. It is in knowing what is expected of you, what part you are to have in the eternal kingdom, your response and your responsibility toward God. It is knowing his part and your part. You will not be able to cast out a demon until you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are supposed to do it. Somebody can tell you that you can, but if you don't have that in your spirit, man, it's not going to work. All right, you have to know that you know that you know that God is, that you have power and authority to do this. And always remember that without God-given dominion, man wrestles with unshakable forces of darkness. You know, you cannot cast out a spirit if you don't have God's authority in you. You will never be able to heal anybody until you understand that healing is the children's bread. Spiritual authority is seeing the whole picture now and walking in the light of knowing. You have to see the whole picture. You have to, everything we just talked about, that has to be active in your life. And then I said, spiritual authority is seeing the whole picture now and walking in the light of knowing what the whole picture is. It is as we rise above the circumstances that we are able to exercise spiritual authority. What does God always tell us? Do not look at your circumstances. Look up. Look up to me. Quit looking at your circumstances. So, it is as we rise above the circumstances, as we learn to look up, get up there in the third heaven, that we are able to exercise spiritual authority. If we do not have spiritual authority, we will become bogged down in confusion without understanding why. And the following scripture should give us an understanding of our authority. You need to understand the biggest problem in the church today is that we came through a dispensation of time where ministers of the gospel did not teach people their authority in Christ Jesus. And they didn't even walk in the authority themselves. They didn't walk in the Spirit. You know, they walked away from the Spirit. And they just started, I'm hearing God say, they just started to clamor. And they weren't given the full gospel. Now, I said the following scripture should give us an understanding of our authority. Do you all understand that God is taking this church and other churches too, but you're the ones I'm preaching to. He's taking you to the highest realm there is in the heavenly kingdom. And it's in that highest realm that he is teaching you the truth about the authority that you have in Christ. A picture of God in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. John says, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. This is God. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That's a lot of people, right? The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. So that was a picture of God sitting on his throne and the enemy being destroyed. All right, now let's look at a picture of Christ. The Son of Man is given dominion in Daniel 7:13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. The kingdom of God cannot be destroyed. I don't care what everybody tells you. It cannot be destroyed. Now let's look at a picture of us in Daniel 7:18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Now we need to understand it to get this in our spirit. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. What does it say? The time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, his kingdom. I want you to understand this because I'm trying to get you to see who you are and how to walk in spiritual authority. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now that's where God is taking us to. That's what we're headed to do. If you don't understand this, you're not going to walk in the authority and power that you're supposed to be walking in. God has been teaching us that we came from heaven, and we're here to do an assignment, and we're going to go back to heaven. All right? I don't want to get ahead of this teaching. So you need to understand that too. You weren't conceived by some alien. You weren't pulled out from underneath a rock somewhere. You were God's created being. All this, I hear all this stuff. I think, how can you ever say that kind of junk? All right? Our ultimate calling is to be kings and priests unto Jesus and unto his Father. Revelation chapter 1 verse 4 says, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn, the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. This is John saying this to the seven churches. Let's start this again. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn, the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. We are a kingdom priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's who we're serving. We are serving Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We are serving the Father in heaven. We walk in the Spirit, and we have angelic activity all around about us. And we can walk in the spiritual authority that God has called us to walk in. If I could only get you to understand the greatness of where God is taking us to and what we are going to be doing, it is such a wonderful assignment that we are on. If we could just understand it, we wouldn't be moaning and groaning and complaining about the things that are going on around about us. We would be rejoicing that we're still sitting in the house of God, that we have not been sifted out. We're still sitting in the house of God, and God is still empowering us with more authority from on high. All right, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Do you have that witness? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So that's who, you know, we're heirs with Jesus Christ. We're just not somebody that's just sitting around and never going to have anything. We will rule and reign with Jesus. This is what you have to take to the nations. Do you have it in your spirit, man, where it is so strong and, you know, you just know that you know that you know, and that it's not going to weaken, and you can take it to the nations. And it doesn't matter how many people say it's not true. You just know it is, and it's strong in you, and nobody can take it from you. That's the only way you're going to have this authority. All right, we're heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. In other words, you're going to suffer here on this earth just as Jesus suffered. And if you can't suffer, then you're not going to be glorified with him. You hear me? You know, God's been trying to get us to grow up for quite some time now. People are not going to like you. Get that through your head. If you're really a child of God, people are not going to like you. I go to this certain beauty shop, and there's one beautician in there that she really walks up to my face and just glares at me, and I know that's not her. I know it's a spirit. And you know, she'll even follow me around. And one time I was there, I said, do I need to do something? She just looked at me and glared at me and walked away. That spirit in her hated me. And see, this is a kind of anointing you have to carry. That the demonic world cannot stand you. And they will try to face you down. Are you understanding this? And you can't be wimpish about it. You can't say, oh God, that person didn't like me. Well, a whole lot of people didn't like Jesus. And a whole lot of more people are trying to prove that God isn't even real. Come on. Now that we have established our position, I have a question for you. Will we become rulers over the governments of the world with no training? No, we will not. Boy, some of you, when you came in here to boot camp, I didn't think you'd ever be able to have dominion over anything. But look what you did. You withstood the tests. And you went to the woodshed over and over and over again. And God has made soldiers out of you, warriors. I'll call you warriors out of you. Right? So now let's talk about Prince Charles. Prince Charles of England, at a certain age, entered into a planned discipline program of studies and work that are designed to prepare him for his rulership as a king of England. He had to go through a disciplining period in his life so he could be a true king. Then the earthly way is to raise a crown prince to be a king. But God's method also is to put his elect through a rigid training program that will prepare them to administer God's will over the whole earth. See that? You just thought, well, I'll just waltz right in there and get right up on the top and do my thing. And God, how many times have God knocked you down before you realize, hey, I had to stop at the start at the bottom and work my way up? Because God's not going to let me just start jumping over people. All right? Now, Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, do you believe that? God has delivered you from the domain of darkness, you know, of your sinful life, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, being born into the royal family gives you the right to use the divine name Jesus Christ. A lot of people try to use the name Jesus to do things and it doesn't work. But if you've been really born into the royal family in heaven, then you have the authority to use the name of Jesus. We as Christians need to be aware that death does not end our service to God. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And then 1 Corinthians 6:2 says, or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? I just went part A in both those because I just wanted to point out to you that you one day will judge the world and that you one day will judge angels. Now, we are to continue as servants of Jesus throughout the eternal ages, reigning with him and serving him forever and ever, even after we die, and we are being prepared for that service right here and now. When we die, we're just not going to go to heaven and just lounge around. Sorry, guys, that isn't how it's going to work. From what I read, they're working continually in heaven, preparing for the second coming of Jesus. And, you know, if we're going to have a mansion built up there, somebody has to be doing carpenter work, right? You're just not going to die and just go up there and have an easy chair. It doesn't work like that. Or you may ask, what is the purpose of it all? I am sure that the kings, I'm talking about the earthly kings that we just talked about, I am sure that the kings would not be willing to go through such rigid training if he were only a rich individual. But he is aware that when he gives up his personal life, die out to your flesh, it is for the sole purpose to prepare him for his ultimate rule as king over England. Are you aware of this fact in your personal life? God is not blessing you just so you can sit here and be blessed and get fat. He's blessing you because he's training you and teaching you to rule and reign with him forever and ever. Now, when Jesus comes a second time, we know the earth is going to be destroyed, and then God's supposed to come down and start the earth all over again. Who's he going to use? You and I. He's going to bring you and I down here, and we're going to help him rule and reign and start a new family. All right, wouldn't the testing trials that purify us be easier if we also understood the purpose of why we're going through them? It's just not because God likes to take you to the woodshed. He's trying to grow you up and make you understand that there is more to life than what we're living right now. And whenever we go to heaven, there's even more to life than that. We're going to be trained up there also to rule and reign with Jesus forever. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And I hope your spirit does that. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. This is Paul speaking. He said what he's going through right now is nothing compared with the glory that's going to be revealed to us. We know from studying the scriptures on the kingdom of God that we are to rule well over his earthly household and the goods that he delivered unto us when he went away. The scriptures tell us we are to rule well over what he's given us. Some people don't do a good job of that. All right. You guys, you don't understand how blessed you truly are that God is doing the things in your life that he's doing because you're so special in his eyes. And you yourself can say there's many times if you were God, you'd have walked away from yourself. But because God had a plan and a purpose for your life and he knew where you were going to end up, he stayed with you. And he brought you through all the furnaces of afflictions, all the deep valleys. He brought you through for such a time as this. Matthew 25:14 says, "For it will be like a," this is Jesus speaking, "for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Let's stop there right now in the body of Christ. God may give you one person to minister to. And he's watching to see how well you do that job of ministering that one person. And if you do a good job, then he'll give you two, and then maybe three, then maybe ten. But he's not going to increase until he sees you being faithful over the one. So people want to have a church and they won't minister to just one, are not faithful as far as God's concerned. If you can't minister to one, then he's not going to give you 1,000. And verse 22 said, "And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Where are you going to be seated at when it's all finished? Are you going to be seated in the right hand? Or are you going to be one of those that God says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I do not know you"? I don't care how many people you prophesied to. I don't care how many people you raised from the dead. I don't care how many people you healed. If you're not doing all that God has called you for to do with a pure, holy, righteous heart, he's going to say, "Depart from me." I really want you to understand this tonight, that God is purifying you even more so than he has been. And he's even sending you into a different realm, higher realm than you have been. You were seated in before you came in here tonight. Jesus' goods have been delivered to us already. And if we rule well over these things, he will put us over many. If you can't love your wife, he's not going to give you other saints to minister to. If you can't love your husband, he's not going to allow you to minister to other people. You might do that, but it's not God. He's not in the mix. All right, the definition of rule is govern, control, direct, manage, command, decree, have complete dominion in his stead, doing his word and work with his commission and the authority of his now. You must realize how necessary it is for you to rule over these things in your life here on this earth, such as exercising authority over evil spirits, commanding them in the name of Jesus with a rod of iron. In Revelation 2:26, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Let's read that again. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule over them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. You know, let's stop there. I was talking about husbands and wives, but you better rule well over your children also. God gets very upset when you don't raise your children properly. And God has said to me many times that I can't do with Gabriel today what I did a week ago, because he's growing up and he's changing, and his mindsets and everything, his thought life is changing. So I have to be on alert every day, watching whenever he's doing something, how I react and respond to what he's doing. His little hormones are going crazy. He wants to be the boss, you know. And this is all kids go through this. And God tells me, you can't do today what you did yesterday with him, because today he's different than he was yesterday. And see, and so I have to be ever mindful, listen to the voice of God, how to raise him at this age right now. But how many parents do that? They just say slam, bam, you know, I'll smack you in the mouth, you don't shut up, and, you know, and treat, and all kids are different. You can't, all your kids are different, they have different personalities, and you can't treat one like you treat the other. When my daddy used to spank me, I said, Daddy, but I didn't do it. Why don't you spank the one that did it? Because you're smarter than they are. You knew better. I wanted to be dumb a lot, you know. And this is what God says, I've taught you better. You have more intelligence. You shouldn't act like the world. You shouldn't treat your kids like the world treats her kids. You shouldn't treat your husband or wife like the world does. You see what I'm saying? God expects more out of us. He does. And just now, you know, God probably to my remembrance, I said, Daddy, you expect too much out of me. I can't do anything, these things you're telling me to do. He said, yes, you can. And that's what God tells me, too. I said, God, you're just expecting too much. No, I'm not. I've trained you up in the ways I want you to go. I think sometimes I just get lazy and don't want to do it. And I think you do too, right? You just let me sit down and not be so intelligent for a day. Right? But that isn't how it works. Here I am, Lord. Use me, big mouth. You all did that. So here you are. He's using you. And he expects more out of you. Well, so-and-so, he says, no, we're not dealing with so-and-so, we're dealing with you. What did he tell Peter about John? You don't worry about John, you just do what I'm telling you to do. And that happens so many times in the body of Christ. You always use somebody else to talk to God about. Compare. No, he's not comparing. You are an individual. And he is using you in your personality. And he's using you out of your Lamb's Book of Life, what is written that you're going to do. He didn't say, well, Christopher, I'm going to make you another Aaron. The two of you are going to be the same. Well, lo and behold, I hope not. Aaron's Aaron and Christopher's Christopher, right? And they have to do what God has planned for them to do. All right. God has big plans for us. I just told you all that. He has had us in a school of intensive training by the Holy Spirit himself. It is a program designed to condition us to our high call. Now, the program for Prince Charles has been ordered by Queen Elizabeth and the wisdom of the royal kings that ruled before her down through the ages. Our training has been ordered by the King over all kings, God himself. It is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But do we deserve it? It's his good pleasure and he wants to give it to us, but have we learned from our training experience? You know, you have to think about this. This world belongs to our Father in the fullness thereof. does not belong to the devil, belongs to our Father in the fullness thereof. We, you and I, are heirs of Jesus Christ. Jesus went away. He's up there. I wouldn't say he's all that happy, because he has to intercede for each one of us. And I believe many nights he has to sit up all night long just interceding for me, maybe. You know what I'm saying? You see, well, he's already out of this mess, and he's up there sitting at the right hand of the Father having a good time. Is he? Because his job is to tell the Father, please don't kill that person down there. Give them another chance. You know how they are. He's up there working for you and I. So when we go up there, okay, so the great cloud of witnesses, what are they doing? They're up there cheering us on. And I've had a couple of my relatives talk to me. Come on, you can do this thing. They probably sit up a couple nights too saying, why are you being so dumb? You know? Don't you understand where you're headed? Don't you understand what God's doing with you? And to tell you the truth, no, I didn't. But I'm learning. Like you, I'm learning. Slower than God would like me to learn, but I'm learning, right? So, these things that Jesus delivered unto us to rule over now is only a fraction of what we will inherit in the everlasting kingdom of our God. We must continue in our ministries with submission to God, preparing ourselves to be fit vessels for this high calling in Christ Jesus. We must continue it was in submission to God. Not doing what we want to do, but doing what God wants us to do. Not wanting to be full of every day is a pleasure day. I don't know about you, but I don't think I have a pleasure day. Do you, Sister Grace? Because the enemy is constantly doing something where we have to be praying and interceding. You know, when I go to bed at night, me and the kids, we lay down and we watch 15 minutes of Gunsmoke, right? And that sort of relaxes us, you know. And I just laid down to bed last night, and God said, tell Adam he can go on his vacation and to have a good time and just relax. I think it was after 12 o'clock when Adam, I just picked up the phone and called Adam and said, God just told me you can go on your vacation. I wasn't praying about it. One thing, in fact, he asked me a couple of weeks ago, and I forgot. A couple of weeks ago, right? And I forgot about it. And just like that, even though I was doing that and putting the kids down and getting them ready to pray, God spoke to me about Adam. That's how God works. If you're really submitted to Him, if all your ways are submitted to Him, and you say, God, you can speak to me anytime you want, just don't wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can't say that. You have to say, God, you can speak anytime you want. And then just let him, even if it's the end of the gun smoke and you want to see the end, I'm just teasing. But you can't say, God, hold it. Let me see the final, how it ends here. You have to be listening to the voice of the Father. Now, by what authority are you doing all this stuff? The authority of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And how did you get that authority? Because you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How did you become a joint heir of Jesus Christ? You submitted yourself to God and said, here I am, Lord, use me. And no, it hasn't always, you've not always been perfect. In fact, far from perfect, and none of us have been perfect. But God knows our frame, and God works with us. He's been working with us, and He has it right here. And I'm hearing him say this is a dispensation of time where all things are coming together. And he has you guys just about prepared to drop the glory on you so he can send you forth as true vessels of honor that he can work through. I'm hearing God say there's going to be multitudes of miracles coming forth from everybody in here and anybody that's watching. You need to watch what's transpiring around about you. You need to understand that the enemy's trying to pull you off course because he knows what God is getting ready to do. I'm hearing God said you need to keep your nose clean if you have to blow it real hard and keep it clean from this point on. And keep your eyes focused upon Jesus and his high calling that he has upon your life. And don't ever again allow the enemy to come and even try to pull you off course. The enemy has to know that he knows that he knows that you are a solid rock. And he can't move you, so he's going to leave you alone. All right? But Father, we truly do thank you tonight. Thank you, God. We thank you tonight, Father God, for your teaching. We thank you for your awesomeness and your presence. We thank you for your love that's just all of a sudden just filled this sanctuary. I'm hearing God say he wants you to dive into his everlasting presence right now. He just wants you to submit yourself totally and completely to him. And if I was you, I'd lay out before him right now. Just submit yourself. Just lay out before him. And he's saying, as you do this now, many things are going to start transpiring in your life. Because you've totally and completely submitted yourself right now. I am hovering over you. And I am filling you with my glory, with my power, all my authority. And the enemy can in no wise come against you to destroy you ever again. Your weapons of warfare are not carnal, always remember that. But they are mighty to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. You have learned how to do that in your own life, and now, children, I am anointing you tonight to do that in other people's lives. You will find yourself encountering the enemy in other people, and that enemy is going to do like he did to Jesus and ask you to leave him alone. But children, they will leave, and people will be set free just because you walked into their presence. You have already told him you will not condone any more heresy. You've already told the enemy that you will not condone him coming at you with his lies and his half-truths. And now, little one, tonight, all power and all authority is given to you to set the captives free. Take your stance in me right now. Raise your heart in victory tonight. The victory that says, I am an heir of Jesus Christ. And just as the enemy could not destroy the Son of God, he cannot destroy an heir of God either.